Today is Monday, April 29th, 2019. This is a Grand Canyon Oral History interview with Keturah Pennington, K-E-T-U-R-A-H, P-E-N-N-I-N-G-T-O-N. My name is Tom Martin, and this is a part six interview with Keturah. Good afternoon, Keturah. How are you today?
Very good, thank you. And you?
Very well, thank you.
Okay.
May we have your permission to record this interview over the phone?
Absolutely.
Thank you. At the end of part five, we had traveled from Hite, Utah, following these photographs all the way to the mouth of the Escalante River at mile 82.2. The Escalante, well, why don't you describe the Escalante? What is it exactly?
It's one of the deepest and longest of the side canyons, and it has side canyons emptying into it, which are really spectacular and worth a trip each for their own sake. It's very deep, as the Colorado River is, but it's significantly narrower than the Colorado River.
Okay.
And in some parts of it, the steep cliffs on the Escalante come right down to the near the water's edge. And in some places, there's more greenery and talus between the water and the cliffs. But it's one of the ones that has proved to have a lot of the upper reaches not touched by the lake. So
okay.
It's worth a trip going down there just for the Escalante River.
Nice. When I think of Glen Canyon from Hite, Utah, all the way to Lee's Ferry, the distance over well over 100 miles, the one tributary that really jumps out to me, of course, is the San Juan,
right?
Which drains a big part of southwestern Colorado.
Yeah.
And so is the Escalante drainage coming in from the north, is it as big as the San Juan?
Or? Oh, no.
Okay.
No. San Juan and Dirty Devil are both major tributaries to the Colorado River.
Okay. And the Dirty Devil is above height a little ways.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a big drainage as well.
Yes.
So the Dirty Devil, is that the next drainage east? Does its watershed boundary to the west border the Escalante?
I don't think I quite understand the question, but I would really urge anyone who wants to know the answer to what you just asked to go consult a map.
That's right. Go look at the map. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I've not been on the Dirty Devil. We've driven across it.
Okay.
On a bridge, but I don't really know anything about the Dirty Devil. I don't really know anything about the San Juan either, except that there's a really terrific canyon that ends on the San Juan that's probably worth talking about, too, because it's such an interesting and different canyon.
Huh. Okay. Well, we'll get to the San Juan when we get to it. We should probably focus on the Escalante because one thing leads to another, and I'm like, now I got a San Juan question. But it's like, wait a minute, because we're not there yet. So the Escalante River, is this a river you need a boat to travel on, or can you just walk the creek bed? What is it like?
At times of the year, you can walk the creek bed in the upper part. In the lower part, we boated a fairish distance up before it got so shallow that we had to get out and walk.
Okay. So there's a flow of water in it.
Yes.
what, maybe 5 cubic feet a second, something like that? What would you think?
You know, I have never learned to gauge cubic feet per second.
Okay.
It doesn't dry up like a lot of the other side canyons do. That's mostly because it's quite long and reaches way up into the upper reaches of the cliffs up there.
Okay.
I don't think Phil has any pictures in this series of Wilson Creek, but I can tell you a story when we get farther up the Escalante about a flash flood that we were there for.
Okay. So there are 4 pictures here on this page that's titled Escalante River, mile 88.2. Mm-hmm. The first picture looks like it's been raining. It's almost like there's a mist in the air. And
I think that's just the lighting.
Okay.
That's a picture of a pictograph panel at the entrance. And they're fairly faint.
This is the picture above the panel. It shows the river and some rocks and some cliffs in the distance and a bunch of clouds. The sun looks like it's trying to break through, but the cliffs in the background almost look wet.
I don't think it was probably raining. I noticed Phil doesn't say what year that was. No, it couldn't have been the year that we got in the flash flood. It's quite possible that it is raining farther up the Escalante River. And the clouds are hanging in low. But if you look up high in the picture, you'll see that they are very low clouds. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's not overcast.
Yeah, no. It looks like a storm cell. It's a very, very nice picture.
And it's faintly possible that we were coming in near sunset.
Okay.
And it's just the lighting is that way.
Got it.
But all summer long, thinking of our summer trips, except for the one hiking trip up in Wilson Creek, I can't think of but 2 times it rained, and it didn't rain very much then. So I don't think that's a rainy picture.
Okay. The next picture is of some pictographs at the mouth of the Escalante.
Right.
This is one of those photographs where there's nothing for scale, but there's a series of people standing there.
Those are good sized figures, 18 inches high,
okay.
20 inches high.
Really nicely done with very fine detail. Headdresses and big hands,
yeah.
Lots of fingers. That's just wonderful.
The figure I found most interesting is the one in the next picture down. That's the one I think of as a whale. I'm sure it couldn't be a whale, but I don't know what it would be. And, you know, it might even be a tool that they had, but it is huge.
Really?
If I were standing in front of it and spread my arms out, I couldn't reach from side to side. It's longer than 5.5 feet, which is my span.
Gosh, it does kind of look fish-like, doesn't it?
It's strange. And I've never yet found anybody who has an informed opinion of what it is. But when you say, did you see the whale?
Uh-huh.
Everybody knows what we're talking about.
Huh. And again, these were at the mouth. So if I came down the Escalante on foot from the Rim Rock country, when I got to the river, could I go downstream or upstream along the river? Or what?
A little ways.
Okay. And if the water was low and I could wade across and I got to the other side, could I get out on the other side? Meaning, is this a, could this possibly be a Trans Canyon route, a way to get from rim to rim?
Oh, I don't know, but I was never there. We were there in June, September, January, February, April, and we were never there when I feel one could wade across the Colorado River.
Okay.
And, of course, at flood time, it's deep and fast.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Well, it's curious because people clearly got down to the confluence here.
Yes. There's an easy route in.
Okay.
To the Escalante.
And then the...
That's where they were when they discovered they really had to come back and come back and come back.
Okay.
They had come in from Hole in the Rock. The road to Hole in the Rock. They'd come in that way.
The fourth photograph on this page is a picture of a canyon with a little water in it. And the water doesn't look very deep, but I can't quite tell. But
it's not very deep, no. I mean, it's wadeable.
Okay. And so is this picture sort of a typical of what the Escalante would look like?
Sometimes it was narrower.
Oh.
And some of the curves had been washed out, so the river was now running in a big horseshoe curve with a sandbar above it that was had vegetation on it.
Oh, okay. So during a high flood, there would be a bench deposited, silt would be deposited up on up high. Okay. Nice. And I'm going to just read the text here. The Escalante has many very fine features. Cathedral in the desert in Clear Creek. Accessibility to the Hole in the Rock Road at the gauging station. Two natural arches and extensive Anasazi things in Davis Gulch. Gregory Natural Bridge and a spectacular canyon in Soda Gulch, 50 mile. Skyline Arch and Coyote Gulch, plus many more natural bridges and arches and numerous Anasazi sites.
It's a great canyon, and as I say, it was very long and rose a lot, so there was stuff left even after the lake was at its highest.
Well, I'm going to click on the button that says Explore the Escalante and see where that goes.
Oh, I just lost my picture.
Uh-oh. Well, I'll tell you what I'm seeing, and I should mention that the website we are at is www.explorepdx.com. That's explorepdx.com. So, Keturah, before we started this interview today, mentioned that she doesn't have any internet access. So when you left that page on your computer, that doesn't get you...
I'm just not getting the picture. I've got the caption, and this one I know.
Okay.
The canyon of the Escalante brings many delightful surprises. Fresh spring water, and there was water all along the Escalante River.
How? So there's two people standing there. It looks like you in the sailor's hat, maybe?
If it's a sailor hat, it's me. Everybody else had different kinds of hats,
and
or none at all.
Standing next to you looks like a gentleman with a pack and... kind of khaki pants and a dark shirt, dark hair.
Yeah, I don't know who that.
Okay, and do you have any idea how far up the Escalante from the mouth you might be where this spring was?
Well, there were springs all along, and I don't know exactly where this one was.
Okay,
You didn't have to really carry a very big water jug if you were hiking up the Escalante.
Nice.
A quart would probably do, and a half gallon would be plenty.
So there's the photo is of two people standing. Clearly, there's water coming down a cliff here, and on a small bench up above these people, there's a bunch of vegetation that looks like it's in flower.
Tamarisk.
Is that tamarisk? It doesn't look like tamarisk. It looks like possibly some pretty unique water-happy vegetation. It doesn't look like willows. It's certainly not cottonwood. These are I don't know, maybe 3 feet high bushes. I wondered if you remember as a botanist seeing any unique plants in there that surprised you.
None that surprised me, but there were a lot. What color are the flowers?
Yellow. It almost looks like brittle bush, but...
Oh, I wouldn't have thought we had brittle bush down in the canyon, but near the mouth of the Escalante, that's possible.
I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's hard to pick out.
Yeah.
So, okay. The next picture down is a little bird nest. There's a mourning dove nest there.
Right. There were mourning doves all over the canyon.
Really?
And this was the first June trip in 62.
Okay.
And I don't even remember who the guy looking at them is, but they were there just at the right time. There were the baby doves.
Nice. And the next picture is absolutely amazing. It's titled Left Bank Waterfall Near Indian Creek.
Indian Creek is the first side canyon in the Escalante, as I recall. And
there's a seep coming down from a side canyon.
Uh-huh.
And there's a sloping sandstone wall that goes right into what looks like a sheet of water.
I would guess that the darkest parts of that are wet at the moment.
Right. But
would also guess that maybe it had rained not too long ago.
Okay.
Because it looks like that's mostly dry. But when it rains up high on the plateau, you get a lot of waterfalls falling down.
Okay. And then the picture below that shows again the Escalante Creek with a good, at least I'd say five cubic feet a second of water there in a very wide channel, maybe 25, 30 feet wide, and a couple of people are walking with backpacks along the shoreline.
I do have that picture.
Okay.
And we have parked our boats as high up as we could paddle.
Okay.
We weren't on the Colorado River. We parked in the Escalante River. But we're planning to hike up and camp somewhere upstream. We wanted to spend the part of the day that we had left when we landed and the next day in the Escalante because we wanted to explore all the side canyons except Wilson.
Nice. How many night overnight was this away from the river?
Oh, one.
Just one. Okay.
In the back is Helen McGinnis, and in the middle is me. And I expect that's Helen's brother in front of me, but I'm not certain of that.
Okay.
But everybody, put supper and whatever you wanted to carry in the way of sleeping gear and water bottles, of course. We just went up the canyon for a ways.
Nice.
Helen and her brother decided that it was warm enough that they weren't going to bother carrying blankets and sleeping bags and whatnot. They just planned to camp in some sort of a nice, cozy little shelter, a rock shelter, alcove.
How did that work out for them? Brr.
Very, very well.
Really? Okay.
One of our group a flat piece of sandstone and said that was her orthopedic mattress and it was the most comfortable night she'd had.
Oh my gosh.
She slept on sandbanks.
Nice.
But now we're going up to explore the Escalante and its side canyons, which were magnificent.
So there's a photograph of a guy walking along. He's wearing maybe a swimsuit. He's holding his shoes. He has no pack. There's what looks like...
Those weren't the same year.
Okay, yeah, it says June 1961.
Yeah, this is the year that they hiked in from Davis Gulch.
Oh, okay.
And hiked on the Escalante and decided they had to see more of Glen Canyon.
Wow, this is a typical view, possibly looking downstream, of typical of what the Escalante looks like then?
Yeah, I'd say, well, it's hard to say typical about any part of it. But yes, there was a lot of country like this.
It's just gorgeous. There's cliffs going up to the rim rock country, which only looked to be 100 or 150 feet high. I mean, it's hard to say in the distance here. That could be a much bigger cliff than I'm looking at.
I think it is.
Okay.
I don't know where in the Escalante they were, but those are good high cliffs.
Okay.
But I say sometimes they drop right down almost to the water's edge, and sometimes there were big talus slopes between the water and the cliffs. But
nice.
I can't think of anywhere in the Escalante where the cliffs weren't big. You can see a fourth person in the middle of the river, just to the right of the three people that are more evident.
My thinking is that if this is June of 61, this is quite a ways up the Escalante from the river. And so...
I would imagine so, yes.
So the cliffs won't be quite as tall, given that they're further away from the water grade at where the Colorado River is.
Yeah.
So the cliffs wouldn't be quite that high, but still, it's stunning. Water filling the channel, ankle deep in many spots, and
the walls striped with the manganese
walls.
Dark,
yep.
Stains.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. And there's riverside vegetation. Looks like willows there.
Probably. Yeah, the lower stuff may be willows. Taller is almost certainly tamarisk.
Okay. It just looks really fun. And I would not want to be in this with a boat at that water because it's too shallow.
Yeah, this is too... Well, that's why in the picture that I said people were carrying their supper and overnight sleeping gear.
Mm-hmm.
We were walking then. If we could have boated, we would have.
Right. Yeah, would have come up from the bottom. So clearly, during spring runoff, that might have been a boatable trial. And I remember reading of a group in the 1950s that attempted to boat the Escalante, and it was more of a pulling the boats than riding them.
Yeah, I would believe that.
It was a long journey. Then the next page to click on here is route to the gauging station from the hole in the rock road.
Yeah, and I don't have any of that. My server can't find any of it, so.
Okay. I'm going to click on it and see what happens. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 photographs. And the first photograph is titled June 1961, A Swirl Hole Above the Gauging Station. And it's John Faust, Chris Suzek, and Cy Benton. And it's
I do remember that picture, yeah. During the flood season, swirl holes like that were gouged out by boulders that got caught in eddies and whirled round and round.
Oh, okay.
Then as the hole got deeper, other rocks got caught in there and whirled round and round and dug it out even more. And as I recall, that one's a fairly deep one. They're looking down, 4 feet maybe?
Oh, it looks bottomless in this photograph. It's hard to tell how deep it is, and there may be water down there. I don't know.
When we were there on another trip during a dry season, there were some that was so deep and so broad that we didn't want to go into them because we didn't know that we could get out.
Right.
They were too broad to chimney. You couldn't reach from side to side.
Right.
And they were deep enough that I don't think I could have climbed out of them.
Wow.
So, yeah, the flash floods really do a job there.
That's amazing. The next photo shows some slick rock country in the distance, blue skies. There is a drainage. It looks like a pretty small drainage. The caption is September 1962, the gauging station route seen from a bank above the Escalante River. It's that ledge near the left edge of the photo, and we are looking directly up the route. See the photo below. Okay, and the next...
Okay, look at the photo below. Is that what looks like a very nicely carved ramp for our very convenience?
Yeah, and it almost looks like somebody's done a little stock improvement there at the bottom to make a little trail to get down off that wonderful ramp.
That's the way that the park rangers came in to go down to the gauging station that measured the water flow in the Escalante River. That
okay.
was their route in.
Okay, yeah. So the caption here says, on the route from the hole in the rock road to the gauging station, this is one of the few places a walker can get down the cliff to the Escalante Canyon. There was a skeleton of a horse just below those walkers higher up from the bottom of this rock ledge trail. It's a short walk down the sand and slick rock to the Escalante River and the gauging station.
Uh-huh.
Art Noble, K-N-O-B-E-L, Jim Henry, H-E-R-N-I, Benoit.
He's Italian, that's Henri.
Okay. B-E-N-O-I-T is his last name, and John Faust, F-A-U-S-T, are the people that are walking down the ramp here. That looks like great country to walk around in.
That was the trip that got them interested in this part of the world, yeah.
So here is a great aerial photo titled Escalante Canyon near the gauging station. Do you think this aerial photo of the Escalante was taken when Phil was in the air trying to search for the lost hikers?
It very well could have been, of course, because that's the area that they were in. But we also talked the pilot into flying over whatever Phil wanted pictures of.
Nice. This picture, this aerial photo picture, is actually of the same spot. We talked about how high is that cliff.
Okay.
It's the same... It's looking down on the same spot from the air that the other picture has looking downstream. Now I can appreciate how big that cliff is.
Yes, it's big.
It's big. That's really wonderful. And I'm just surprised to see how the Escalante is so torturous. It's going to the right, it's going to the left, it's going to the right, it's going to the left. It just is so sinuous.
Yes.
You walk a long distance to go a short horizontal line.
Well, I can imagine that, you know, a very long time ago, the Escalante River was a crack, and the flash floods brought down a lot of boulders that banged first the left wall and then the right, and carved itself a sinuous path, and then side canyons got carved into it from up top, because it's one of the longest.
It just looks really gorgeous, especially from the air here. Okay, the next link to click on looks like Lower Escalante Creek. Sorry, Lower Escalante River.
Well, I'm not going to have any of that.
You know what? We were just there, so I've seen these, okay, and we went to the route to the gauging station, so we did
right.
That. It looks like then the next one to click on would be Clear Creek Cathedral in the Desert.
Yes. If nothing else could have been saved, and I don't really know how they'd have done it. Oh, I don't have Clear Creek either. That's too bad. Because it is spectacular.
It looks incredibly well vegetated.
Yeah, it looks really nondescript right at the Escalante.
Okay.
And, at that time, everybody was exploring everything. And Cathedral in the Desert, I think, was one of the main stops of the commercial river trips, too. So, of course, it had to be explored.
So they would hike up from the Colorado then?
Yeah. I know they did after Phil alerted the Sierra Club to what was there, but I suspect they may have before as well.
Okay.
Not the Sierra Club, but other commercial, Georgie White and that. Do you know about Georgie White?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I have a feeling she took her people up there. So you turn into a reasonably nondescript rather than Glen Canyon spectacular and keep going. I don't have the pictures, but I know they get better and better.
It's the caption here for the first one, and you can see there's cliffs in the distance, but there's a lot of vegetation. It looks like big cottonwood trees.
That
almost look like maybe they're ash. It says Clear Creek is a wide canyon with much greenery up to its spectacular jump up.
Right.
And the stream runs over a bed of bare rock and occasionally drops over a small cascade or waterfall. Must have been really fun to walk it up.
Oh, yeah. We waded all the way.
And
it was very shallow when we first got there. And I don't think we were ever there when it wasn't, except when it was lake.
And then there's four pictures here. The fourth picture looks like, well, you better turn around here. It's narrowed right in. There's a cliff on the left with a lot of wonderful striped staining on it coming down. There's a cliff on the right, and you could easily go, huh, well, I guess that's it, ho-hum.
Yeah.
Suddenly the walls close in overhead, it says. Your first visit here is bound to be a stunning surprise. You have never seen anything like what lies around that corner. And that corner looks pretty nondescript.
Oh, it does, gosh. Yes, right.
And so then the next link here says, step into the cathedral in the desert. And I'm going to click the button.
And I do have those pictures.
Okay, oh my gosh. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 photos on this page. The jump up pool. So by jump up pool, do you mean there's a pool over here that you can't get up without rope? Is that... You'd have to come down from the top with a rope?
Right.
Okay, and the...
I need to make sure I answered your question. You can see a stripe of light running diagonally across the lower left corner.
Yes, yes, and a person in the light on the far lower right.
Right. The person is me, and I was instructed to get myself around there and stand right there.
Okay.
While Phil took that picture. The sun is coming in from the upper left, and it comes across the top of the waterfall there, which is, I don't know, somebody measured it 80 feet high.
Okay, that sounds about right.
And it ends in a large, reasonably deep pool right where the strip of light is cut off.
Oh, okay.
The black at the bottom of the page is all water.
I see.
And... a big pool, and it's sandy around more than half of it. But part of it is either straight up out of the water or slightly overhanging straight out of the water. You could swim over, but you couldn't get up
okay.
to walk over there.
And it looks like the canyon is almost a slot canyon that comes down to a large area that has been eroded out.
Right.
As if making a cathedral that is still open to the sky in a narrow slit overhead.
Right.
Wow.
When the people are hiking up the canyon, everybody's, you know, chattering and calling, oh, look at this, see what I found, and so forth. And when people step around the corner, the next picture shows backwards. When you step around that corner, everybody gets quiet.
Wow.
It's really very nice.
It's just gorgeous. It's the lighting reflecting to the cliffs above, lighting them diffusely with the desert varnish staining stripes coming down.
Yeah.
The cliffs, sandstone, really just gorgeous. Then the third picture down is the plunge pool and waterfall. Okay, see a more recent trip into this spot from above. Seeing a person rappelling down this face will give you a much better idea of its size. Okay, I'm going to click that from above.
Yeah, I don't have those pictures.
No, it went someplace else. So I'm going to go back. That link is broken, but that's all right.
Yeah, that was somebody else's, and it was a link to his website, and I suspect he's taken it down.
Okay.
I don't know how to get it back.
Wow, very, very, I see. So looking up into the canyon above the waterfall, you do get a little glimpse of that, but you can't climb up there, and so...
If you can go back up to where we first came in and saw the cathedral in the desert with the stripe of light across the lower left-hand corner.
Uh-huh.
That stripe of light ends in a little knob. And if we go back down to the picture we were just at...
Oh, I see
it. There is that little knob.
Got it.
Only it's huge.
Yeah. That's amazing. Oh, and I see what you mean about the plunge pool and the sand. So when you were standing on a little sandy area there, but there's a much deeper pool of water at the base of this waterfall.
Yeah, it is deep. I'm not keen on swimming, so I didn't swim out there. Besides, it was cold, if I recall.
Mm.
Even in summer, it was cold because the sun never hit it.
Gorgeous light. And then the last picture on this page shows the pour over, and in the lower right are a cluster of people, and they look mighty small.
Yes, it's a big alcove.
Wow. Then there's a link to click for more of Cathedral in the Desert, and I'm going to click that.
Oh, I don't have those.
So it's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 photographs, and the first one is looking straight up.
Yeah, I like to do that.
It says the walls...
Look at how narrow it is at the top and how wide it is at the bottom.
Yeah, that's really just amazing. The walls closing overhead to form a vast cathedral in the desert, and it is by this name that this place has been known for the only too brief time that it has been known. Gosh. And there's water seeping out of the walls. Again, I mentioned the vegetation. Oh, maidenhair fern grows in the water seeps. Okay.
And often mimulus, which has bright yellow flowers early in the year.
Nice.
And often poison ivy.
It says a broad, flat, sandy floor. I would not want to be in here in monsoon season.
No, definitely you don't want to be there.
This is a gorgeous picture. The sun is coming in to the cathedral area with the plunge pool and the sand, and the cliffs around it are dark. There's a little bit of vegetation in the bottom, and the slide is titled, yes, that's poison ivy.
Right. Bill wasn't allergic to poison ivy, and he never really paid any attention to
it. Oh, the lucky man.
That's my opinion, yes.
Gosh.
But he brought that picture back and selected that one as his the one he wanted for the nice overview. And I said to him, you know, that's poison ivy there in the corner of the picture. And so he acknowledged it in the caption.
That's very nice. It's just gorgeous. It's really just gorgeous.
Well, I wouldn't go where he was because it was all poison ivy.
Wow. Really stunning. Okay, so then I'm going to click the link here to go back to Clear Creek. And
oh, hell bells. I lost everything. And I'm not going to get it back either. I'm going to have to... Jeez.
Well, I'm very happy to say... We can reconvene when you get your computer up online again, because I think it would be really important to have you know what we're looking at here. I can carry on and try to wing it with what I'm seeing. Do you want to try that, or what would you like to do?
Well, whatever you feel like. I don't know how long I'm going to be. I lost everything, and I have to go back to
yeah.
Okay, I don't seem to have. Oh, I've got some of Davis Gulch.
Okay, well, I've got. I'm going to click on Davis Gulch here. I see that. There's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 photos here on the first page of Davis Gulch. And the first photo shows high cliffs, of course, lots of vegetation, some water. It looks like a jungle down there.
There's a spring there.
Okay.
Which was another good reason for going up there to camp.
Nice, because it was water.
Yeah. Well, potable water. We didn't drink the Escalante River water either.
Okay. It says David's on the text here. It says Davis Gulch is the first Sawcut Canyon, downstream from Soda Gulch on the right bank on the Escalante River. It can easily be entered from the Hole in the Rock Road by walking the desert to the west of Davis, and dropping down an old Mormon cattle trail to a corral in the bottom of the gulch. And says it has unusually large stream alcoves. They look giant.
Yeah, gosh. They were. The Escalante had some of the biggest ones, although Catfish had some pretty big ones, too.
Hmm. And then there's a photo, which is kind of hard to describe, of Moki Window, or the Roos.
Right, I do have that one.
R-U-E-S-S, Roos Arch. It's a tiny hole worn through one of the ribs of stone. So what we're doing is we're looking at a rib here of stone. The gulch is curving around right and left, and it sounds like it's kind of poked through here a little bit to the other side. Is that a tiny hole?
A big hairpin turn there.
Okay, that makes sense.
And maybe that's the arch over on the left. This is a tiny arch.
Oh, yeah, there is a little hole over there.
Yeah, I think that is, most people call it Moki Window, but I think the official maps call it Roos Arch.
Hmm.
Roos was a young man who explored the canyon very thoroughly and probably knew a lot more about it than any of us did, but he disappeared.
Right. That's Everett Roos.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The next picture down, yeah, I'm sure that thing over to the left.
Uh-huh.
Moki Window. The next picture down shows it.
Got it. It is. It's amazingly small, but I imagine actually in it is going to be a little bigger. That's amazing that it poked through there. Did you get here by walking up from the Colorado, or were these pictures taken coming down from the top?
I don't know on some of them. They could have been either, because the first hiking trip in, no boats, came down from the top, and then all the others came up from the bottom.
Okay.
One down below with the white flowers, I know, was taken in September of 62. But I don't know for sure when the one above it was taken.
So the picture at the bottom is of Sacred Datura,
Datura.
What's it called? The night
jimson weed.
Night blooming lily. Jimson weed.
I can believe any. You know, that's the thing. Datura, all the botanists will know what you mean.
Yeah. Under
jimson weed and night blooming lily and so forth. Reeking lily is one.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't have a good smell, in my opinion.
Mm. Yeah.
So the common name is whatever the local people call it, and that's that.
Right.
Datura defines it.
Well, that's
D-A-T-U-R-A.
Thank you.
Well, I say that because I was working my way through college with a job in the botany department. I was sitting on one side of a table, and my boss was talking to somebody else on the other side, and they must have asked him what that was, and he says, Datura. And I looked up, yes, boss?
And he said, no, Datura. And you said, yes, boss?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, that's great. Fun. Okay. I'm going to click the button.
Oh, he still has the name down below. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No worries. I'm going to click the button that says More Davis Gulch.
I clicked and I got a picture. Good.
Great. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 photos here. And the
and
first...
I've got some of them.
Okay. The first photo shows there's a some of the best preserved Anasazi sites. It says there's a looks like a structure under an overhang, and
right.
There's a person in a yellow shirt with maybe some green shorts there. Who's the person standing there? Do you know?
I think that's Henri.
Okay.
H-E-N-R-I.
Yeah, Henri.
And if you look. One knee is bent.
Yes.
And right at the tip of that knee, although it doesn't really show up, but I happen to know that that's a Matari there.
Oh, wonderful. Wow.
That's a portable Matari, so anybody could have carried it off.
Gosh.
It's not real heavy. And it was still there.
Wow.
People left things like that, and I say bully for them.
Well, the next picture shows some matates right there on the ground.
I don't have that picture.
Over by the wall, it says corn grinding stones.
Yeah, right. Okay. No, I don't have that one.
And it's right up next to wall there. So there's a stacked stone wall with mud chinking or mud mortar right next to these matates here. Nice. And then there's the third photograph is, it says, the caption is, some of the finest pictographs in the Glen Canyon, in the Glen, are in Davis Gulch.
Yeah, there's, apparently Davis was broad enough that they farmed there, so they spent a lot of time there. That's Helen McGinnis taking a picture, and the next picture down is the one she's a picture of what she's taking a picture of.
It reminds me of the cartoon character, the Tasmanian Devil, in the Bugs Bunny series.
Yeah,
kind of funny there. Did you guys have a name for this panel? Or
no, I wouldn't be surprised with what Georgie White does.
Okay.
But we didn't particularly have a name. As there were several panels scattered around.
It's funny, there someone has scratched some name, Glover, G-L-O-V-E-R, maybe 18, no, it's at 19, it couldn't be 19, oh, it could be 1962. Somebody who would have just come up there and done that. Too bad. On the wall there. But some very fine white paint, it looks like, is the... Is the...
Some of them were white, some of them were red, and I think the next picture down shows some of each.
Right. There's some red red figures, feathers in there, coming out of their heads there. And this second photograph with this panel, there are some really intricate things there. Spirals and almost looking like thumbprints, corn cobs, all sorts of things there. Really wonderful. What else do you remember about Davis?
Size. The reed canary grass, the grass that sort of resembled cattails, but it's truly a grass and grows taller than me. There was a lot of that in the upper reaches.
Okay.
And there were biting flies. They sneak up behind you and bite right behind your knee.
Oh my gosh, okay.
But it was always easy walking and quite long. But we were more interested in the Native American remains. It was great for that.
What else? What other remains of the First Nation material did you find in there?
Oh, houses, storage pits, and things.
Okay. Corn cobs.
As I say, there was a lot of sandy benches in the curves.
Okay.
And I suspect that they farmed there extensively.
All right. The last photograph is an aerial picture, which shows a lot of slick rock country, and then a deep canyon entrenched on the far left side of this photograph.
It says June of 61, but I think that's a typo. I think that's June of... I mean, it says 51. I think that's June of 61.
Okay.
And probably from the flight where Phil was looking for the lost hikers. But
it's gorgeous country.
I guess it shows the flat mesa up above.
Right.
Davis Gulch down below.
Yeah. It says the hole in the rock airstrip is about a mile to the right or east.
Yeah, that does imply that it was when he was flying, hunting for the hikers.
Yeah. Okay, so I think that's going to be Davis Gulch. I'm going to click back here because I think Soda Gulch is the next place to go.
Okay.
For the Gregory Natural Bridge. And the first picture is stunning. It's just a wall that looks many hundreds of feet high. Tiny people down walking a wide creek bed, if you will. Sand there and some water. And deep shade. But nice sun as well.
Well, according to the caption, it's just downstream on the Escalante from the mouth of Soda Gulch, and we were probably hiking up to Soda Gulch.
It says 50 mile. Where do you think that 50 mile reference is from? Do you know?
No, I don't. That's interesting. Phil must have gotten it somewhere.
Okay.
Oh, yes, I do know. Soda Gulch is called 50 Mile Creek in some places.
Okay, that makes sense. I wonder,
I am 50. Assuming that because I know where 25 Mile Gulch is and all the rest of it. That would be just about right.
Okay.
But the river runners all called it soda. I don't know why.
The next picture shows, it looks like three people walking toward the camera. They're in a gorgeous little canyon that doesn't look all that wide. It's definitely very deep. They're in the shade.
Well, it doesn't look all that deep because that little bit up to the first bench that's sunlit and sweeping up to the right isn't all that deep. But you can see behind it, it's steeper and deeper.
Yes.
And behind that, it's
deeper again. Yet. Yeah, yeah.
And the stripes are going vertically on the farthest back one. They aren't curved under an undercut.
Hmm.
Let's see. Those people are Julie Varan on the left, Cy Benton in the middle, and I don't know the guy.
Okay.
That was, it says below, June 61.
June 1961, looking to the right from where the picture above was taken, we see the mouth of Soda Gulch. Interesting. Okay, so then the next thing to click on is continue to Gregory Bridge.
Oh, and I have pictures. Okay.
Great.
Yes, indeed. Now, that top picture, it may not appear real obvious, but Gregory Bridge is just above the center, in the center, left and right,
it
and just
is
above the center vertically.
Not apparent.
No, it really isn't.
Wow.
One can find it. There's greenery in a sort of a V pointing to the right.
Mm-hmm.
And across the creek, and just above the tip of the V, there's a little knobby thing.
Yeah. And that's it.
And the bridge, you can see through the bridge, just off the left curve of the knobby thing.
Right. That's right.
It's not real obvious.
So this is a wonderful picture because it looks like it's looking upstream to the bridge, but the photographer has scrambled up quite a ways up the side of the canyon and is looking out across the high benches along the side of the water course. You can see
looks but like, knowing the photographer and how well he loves to scramble, I think that's an aerial.
Okay.
I think he persuaded the pilot to fly it for him.
Oh, all right. Looks like there's a nice cottonwood tree there. There's water in the creek. Really, just a gorgeous-looking little canyon. Then the next picture, it's the second largest natural bridge in the U.S. Only Rainbow Bridge is larger. And it has a wonderfully curved underside to this bridge. But otherwise, it's a fairly big, blocky mass of sandstone that makes the top of the bridge. And then the next picture is definitely from a plane. You can see the plane window. And the fourth picture is also from the plane, but it's a great shot of the bridge with sunlight in the mouth of the bridge, so it's nicely lit up.
Yeah, I don't have that one, but...
The title is From the Air Looking Upstream, the Old Stream Meander That Made the Opportunity for a bridge to form is clearly visible. The easy breaking through the thin ridge is easily visualized. It will be many millennia before this sturdy bridge would collapse. Yeah. Gosh.
We think that our party may be the only one let me rephrase that. As far as we know, our party is the only one who has climbed it, but if anybody else claims to have, why, I can believe them.
So I think it was climbed in 1940, Do I want to say seven? Maybe I do. By some people that brought some string, and they wanted to know how high it was, so they dropped
good for them.
Some string down, and it's written up in their journals and much discussion. And that the role of string that they used is actually in the Otis Marston collection. It's unbelievable.
Okay.
It's a little thimble with a whole bunch of string on it. It's crazy.
Wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. It's really neat. What do you remember of climbing up there?
The party before the first trip I went on had tried it and not made it.
Okay.
And of course, that was a challenge. So I tried it and found that it wasn't nearly as difficult as I thought it was going to be. But I couldn't get anybody else to want to try it. And the rope had already gone. Phil was carrying the rope at that time. So we didn't have that as an incentive. And coming down was a lot jolly harder than going up.
How did you do it? Where's the route to climb it?
Off the left end. Yeah, let me see.
Yeah, it looks like the way to do it.
Go up to the one before. Off the left end, yeah.
Okay.
It'd be left end in the next picture, too. It was just sort of a walk-up.
So
there was only one difficult move.
Okay.
And then the rest of it was pretty easy. Getting down onto the bridge was a bit of a scramble.
Right.
You can see broken rock there, which made it quite possible.
Yeah, but it's interesting because it looks like you end up walking up the slick rock, and then you have to get down to get to the top of the bridge.
Right.
Interesting.
It's broken there.
Okay.
You can see in the picture with two people, well, one's under the bridge and one's looking at it.
Yeah.
You can see that there's so...
Nice. Very fun.
But so it was climbed back in the 40s. I can readily believe it.
And it was originally surveyed, I believe, in the 20s, and the survey crew left a bunch of tin cans there, and they may have climbed it at that time. I don't know.
Survey crews are usually very skillful, yes. Well, Phil has stories about survey crews and the things they did, yeah. But not surveys here. Surveys on roads in Alaska and other places.
It really is a beautiful picture here. This fourth one from the air really gives a good sense of the bridge and what it looked like. It's really wonderful. And the same with the second picture shows the person walking and the other person's got their hands on their hips is just looking at the arch. It is a massive arch.
Yes, it is.
Wow, really pretty.
Well, one is closer to the underside of it than one gets to the Rainbow Bridge underside, so maybe it just looks a lot thicker, but it sure seems a lot thicker to me.
The text here says, in the early 1960s, road maps began to show Gregory Bridge up on the plateau above, well away from the waters of future Lake Powell.
People started learning about Gregory Bridge, and the Parks Bureau didn't want to admit that they were drowning it, so
they moved it
on the map.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Well away from the waters of future Lake Powell, where earlier maps properly showed it. However, the top pool level of Lake Powell, 3710, is well above the top of Gregory Bridge. My...
Yeah, Phil was never sure if they did that on purpose or if it was an accident by a careless surveyor or what. It kind of irked him.
I imagine it did. I don't blame him. Yeah. I'm going to click the button here for, it's titled More at Gregory Natural Bridge, so I'm going to click that.
And yep, I'm without pictures at the moment.
3, 4, 5, 6 photos here. The first photo shows June 1961. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people. They're mostly on their hands and knees looking at the water.
Oh!
It says, examining the critters in the water under the bridge, our first party in Glen. Left to right, Julie Verran, V-E-R-R-A-N, now an antiques dealer in California. Jim, Mel Bernstein, physicist in Bay Area. John Faust, physicist. Art Noble, K-N-O-B-E-L, is a mathematician. Tim Taylor, physics demonstrations, Oregon State University. Very nice. And then there's a bunch of people standing here discussing the critters under the bridge. And
I think they went fishing and finally caught a fish.
There's a it has a list of the people here. It says Phil Pennington, far left, currently typing this picture caption, and all you can see is the guy's legs and shoulder. You can't see his head. He looks like quite the strong guy. Peter Barna, B-A-R-N-A, is hidden behind Art Noble, K-N-O-B-E-L. And far right is Cy Benton, B-E-N-T-O-N, and picture taken by Henri Benoit, that's H-E-N-R-I-B-E-N-O-I-T. Nice. Looking downstream from under the bridge, that's a nice shot. And then looking up at the bridge overhead, looking upstream from under the bridge. It's a great series of photographs here. Upstream from just above the bridge. Gorgeous sandstone, weathered. Really, really gorgeous set of photos. And then hiking upstream from Gregory Bridge, I'm going to click that.
Yeah, I'm not getting any of that.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 photos here. The first one shows water in the creek, and it's now only about 20 feet wide. It says, the hike up Soda Gulch to the desert above and to the hole in a rock road is cool and shaded for the first several miles, a very pleasant walk on the hottest of days. So it sounds like you can get out this canyon.
I didn't remember that. I was never on a trip that did, but I could believe it.
Okay. It says a few of the pools are deep enough to require swimming.
Yeah. And often they were cold.
My bet. The walls are always gracefully curved and finely patterned. And they just this is a wonderful sinuous canyon. Very tight at the bottom, maybe, again, 20 feet wide. Vegetation here and there. Small alcoves often contain low waterfalls. But nowhere is our progress.
I've got pictures back again.
Great.
Yeah. And I see that there's a lot of cobbles that have collected there at the top of that one.
And running water?
Uh-huh.
Gosh. Must have... What did it sound like?
The running water?
Yeah.
If it was very shallow, it was quiet. In the next picture down, you can see a tiny little waterfall near the bottom.
Yeah.
And, of course, those splashed nicely. It was just very pleasant. Mostly when there were a bunch of us, so it was slurp, slurp, slurp as we all waded through the water.
Okay.
But... if you took the time to sit down, why, you know how water sounds like, and it sounds just like that.
It must have been
but
heavenly.
You're surrounded by all these wonderful walls with the stripes, curves.
Wow. Soda Gulch is a deep canyon even for Glenn that helps make the walk up. It's shady and cool and very spectacular. It says hiking further upstream, so I'm going to click on that link.
Yeah, the one you were just looking at, you can see how deep it is by the three little figures down there at the bottom.
I'm going to go back and look at that. Yes, you can see a couple people there down at the bottom, and it's high. I wouldn't want to be here in monsoon season.
Right.
There would be no way to, no escape. Giant stream alcoves. Nice.
We're walking into the alcove that's on the left.
Okay. So this is still walking up canyon?
It must be, because Phil would do them in order.
Okay.
But we hiked up and then hiked back down, so it could have been from either side.
This gorgeous streaking coming down from above, the desert varnish streaking down the sides of the sandstone.
Yes.
Really gorgeous. And a gravel bottom looks like there. And then it says, from the back of the alcove, we look up into a great crescent of sky and wall. Wow. Water seeps are generally located there. Maidenhair fern and monkey flower, mimulus, commonly grow there. Calls of the canyon wren and mourning dove are frequently heard echoing off the walls.
Yeah. Yeah, there seems to be a water table not too far above the creek, because often there was a line of maidenhair fern and mimulus a short distance up from the water.
Okay. It just looks gorgeous. It's really pretty. I'm going to click the button that says hiking further upstream.
Okay. Yeah, I'm missing the first picture, but I've got the next one.
The first picture looks to be a pool of water that is now touching the canyon wall side to side. Maybe we're looking at 10 feet wide.
That happened, yeah. Sometimes you waded them and sometimes you swam them.
Soda Gulch is one of more varied canyons in Glenn. It's just gorgeous. The sunlight comes in and hits the water, but there's deep shade all around, and of course when it hits the water, it throws up on the walls
right. With
a spackled reflective pattern. Really gorgeous. And this is almost getting into Slot Canyon now. Very tight overhead for quite a ways. Oh, and here's a picture looking straight up, which almost, you know, sort of reminiscent of Antelope Canyon or a typical slot canyon. It's very...
Well, I think he took that to show that there were places where one side overhung the other side.
Right.
And if you were to shoot a BB gun straight up, you wouldn't get out.
You wouldn't hit the sky.
The BB wouldn't get out. It would hit a wall on one side or the other.
Yeah. No, it's definitely... It's a sinuous, tight canyon that has overhangs coming off each side. Really gorgeous. And then the last picture, upper reaches of Soda Gulch on a hiking trip from the Hole in the Rock Road, down Davis Gulch and up Soda Gulch. So few people pass this way.
They did go up Soda. Okay, that was the first trip that I wasn't on, and I had not remembered that detail. It
says, this family of birds was comfortable nesting in the rock.
Yeah.
Do you know who that person is there? He's wearing...
That's Ed Leeper.
Okay.
He made pitons for a while.
Huh.
Made for sale pitons. Okay.
Wearing a pith helmet. How about that?
Well, kept the sun off his nose and his ears.
They were the hat of choice for river runners in the 40s and clearly into the 50s. So
okay.
Here we are in early 60s. That makes sense. And it looks like that's the last of the Soda Gulch photos.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to back backtrack to the middle map, which shows, okay, it shows Soda Gulch, and it shows Cathedral in the Desert, and then Davis Gulch. Okay, so you could go down Davis and then up the Escalante and then out Soda? Is that, or down Soda and then down the Escalante?
That's what Phil seemed to have been saying, yeah.
Right, and there's the hole in the rock road, I see.
Right. It's
a wonderful looking country, gosh. Okay, so I'm going to do a shortcut off the map and go back to the mouth of the Escalante. Great. Maybe this is a good place to call it a day.
I would imagine, yeah.
After such an exhausting journey as we wandered all over the Escalante Canyons. What a gorgeous, gorgeous canyon that is up there. I wanted to ask you, though, what do you remember about spending the nights up there? Away from the river, it might have been quiet, and was there just anything else you remember about that?
Oh, it was always quiet. I mean, on the river, it was quiet? No, that's not true. Very often, we had a chorus of tree toads.
Okay.
And at certain times of the evening and morning, we'd have bird songs, but yeah, it was very quiet, the wind, but there was nothing else out there to make noise except our companions.
Did you get wrapped up in any flash floods in there at all?
Never on any of the hiking club trips.
Okay.
Oh, man, I am in big trouble. My calendar is missing, so I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay, well, I tell you what, hold that thought. Let me wrap up this interview and hold the line for a minute.
Okay.
This will conclude part 6 of a Grand Canyon Oral History interview with Keturah Pennington. My name is Tom Martin. Today is April 29th, 2019. And Keturah, thank you very much.
Very welcome. Huh.